Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
That's terrible.
Sorry.
Stop laughing. This is serious.
I'm laughing at you. That's the only reason you're upset.
Great.
Anyway, hi everyone. It's our second episode of June. Wow.
Yeah.
This year is going by at a rate that I cannot comprehend. It's crazy. We're halfway through the year.
That's fine. It's an okay year.
Yeah, it's not good, but
it's not better than last year, so.
No, definitely not better than last year. But anyway, hopefully, you know, with the summer season officially kicking off, we can continue to have these great releases. Listen, the month of May was fantastic.
I know. So it was amazing.
I'm just looking forward to the rest of the year being very similar in terms of releases. Yay.
Exactly.
But I guess we were kind of trying to decide what to do this week or what to talk about or what we could kind of cover.
You make us sound so unprepared and unplanned. No. We have plans.
We have ideas that we kind of put together like in like a short term and are like, okay, yes, this one. Like we have like a bunch of ideas floating and then we just kind of like pick a name out of a hat, basically. And this week, in keeping with the theme of the summer season, it feels here anyway in our neck of the woods finally kicking off.
Yeah.
Because it's taken a very long time to get here, but also kicking off with a bang because it's really hot out right now, very quickly. We decided that we may as well hop on the Summerween bandwagon, the whole halfway through the year, fun, like, you know, summer, like sort of halfway to Halloween kind of recommendations and things like that. We may as well hop on that in case. Okay. I was doing a little bit of reading about this because I was curious as to like where Summerween came from.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, the term apparently was first used in the TV series, the animated TV series Gravity Falls, which ran Disney Channel from 2012 to 2016. Apparently it was used in one of their episodes that they titled Summerween, and it's the first time that there's ever like a reference to something like that. And it's taken off and just become a fun thing.
Wait, summer what?
Summerween! The people of this town love Halloween so much they celebrate it twice a year. And wouldn't you know it, it's today!
It's a thing now.
Yeah,
it's
also, perfect. I've seen ads for Gravity Falls like multiple times before, and I've just like never gotten around to watching it, but I feel like it would be my vibe. It's like a spooky, cute little mystery series. I know. Mm. I've just never gotten around to it. I need to put it on the list.
Yes.
We'll get to it eventually. But anyway, in keeping with that, because I think all we're seeing anywhere online right now are Summerween recommendations, I said, hey, I want to do that too.
Yeah, so. There you go. So we're going to do Summerween recommendations for mainly movies, obviously, but we're also going to do books.
And TV shows.
And TV shows.
Yeah.
That's right.
So a little bit of everything to get you through these summer months when people like myself, for instance, whose wardrobes largely consist of black clothing and who are so pale that they can burst into flames in the sun, really suffer a lot because we've got to slather on the sunscreen and we don't have anything to wear. And we get real sweaty. It's not fun.
Wow. Ew. Gosh.
TMI. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Okay. Anyways, before we dive into this, I want to say a couple of very important things that I think are worthwhile mentioning.
Do it.
So, first of all, number one, a few people mentioned to us that, you know, on other platforms, yes, there are ads in between the episodes and that's just kind of how it happens. They're automatically added in there. But if you don't like that, listen to us and subscribe to us on Spotify.
Yeah.
On Spotify, we put an ad-free feed.
We are ad-free. It is the only platform on which we are ad-free. So apologies, you know, if you're getting the ads elsewhere, but if you go onto Spotify, you can have it without ads.
It's ad-free. I mean, we can't control the ads that Spotify adds itself in terms of promoting its stuff and whatever it is that, I mean, if you have a subscription, you won't get it.
Yeah.
But you don't get the ads within the episode.
So yes, exactly.
There's that. And also another very important thing, there is the Sacred Crypt Awards nominations that are happening right now. I think they're happening until, I want to say, July 12th.
There you go.
Right? There we go. So please do vote for us there. I'm going to leave a link in the description of the episode at the bottom.
Yep.
The best category for us is the Rising Star. So content begun in 2025, which is when we started.
When we started our podcast.
Exactly.
We are coming up on our 1 year anniversary. We're one almost. So stay tuned for that. But that's fun. That's coming up actually next week, literally. Yeah, crazy.
That's it. So please do those things. And if you want to listen to no ads, then Spotify it is.
Spotify it is.
Yeah.
And as usual, pretty please rate and review the podcast. It really helps us out, obviously, to, you know, kind of get out in front of more people. We really, really appreciate everybody who does that and continues to support us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into our Summerween stuff.
Summer.
You got to put that in there.
I know I'm going to.
Okay, good.
Okay. It'll be there. Insert clip of Olaf right here.
Imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer. Da-da.
It's just going to stay there and then it's going to, oh, wow, terrible.
Okay. How do we want to section this? Do we want to do like each movie or do we do all of our movies and we do all books?
We do movies, we do books, we do TV shows.
Okay. So we'll do all the movies first.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to go first then?
No.
Wow. Okay. It's because I have way more than you do for everything because I can never help myself.
Okay. Well, contain yourself. I have like 4 movies.
I have 5. It's fine. Shush. Okay. My first one is probably, we were trying to.
Yes. Okay. So let's preface this that, you know, Summerween, yes, you go on online and you search for Summerween. It's usually kind of like the same movies that reappear most of the time. You know, you get your Jaws, you get your Sleepaway Camp and all the slasher and all the Jason movies and, you know, your Piranhas and whatever it is.
Yes. And those are all fantastic. Obviously, watch them. Obviously, they're great. They're so fun. Yes,
but like kind of everyone knows about that and everyone thinks about that when they think of Summerween stuff.
Agreed.
So we are not going against the tide, but we're going to tell you the ones that we first of all loved and watched, obviously, and still remember to this day.
And then give us that vibe, but without being like Friday the 13th Part 2, because like you know to go watch that already. If you are here, you know that.
Yeah.
So
exactly. So they're going to be a little bit out of left field, I guess, but anyways.
Yes. So my first recommendation is one that kind of falls into that vibe regardless, and I think does have an audience and a fan base, but I feel like it kind of gets lost sometimes in the shuffle because there are so many new films that are released on a regular basis. It is The Final Girls from 2015.
Oh, yeah.
This one's like a meta horror comedy, very, very meta horror comedy, but it really leans into that like summer camp slasher vibe. It follows a group of friends who go to see this B movie that the main character's mother starred in like 20 or 25 years prior that is called like Camp Bloodbath and it's like a summer camp slasher. And somehow they are sucked into the film itself and have to start working with the characters basically to find their way out so that they are not killed in the film. But it's a really fun, silly. There are a lot of really familiar faces in it, like Thaisa Farmiga, Nina Dobrev, Adam Devine is in it. Like there are a bunch of people who you'll recognize in it from especially that 2010s kind of space. And it's just, it's like just silly enough and really doesn't take itself seriously enough to be very enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I remember that. So for me,
yes,
number one is something that I'm really glad I remembered because I, you know, was like, what is that movie? It has this happens, this happens. Then I asked Megan with like 3-word description. She's like, oh, it's that one. Because you just have way too many information, too much information in your head about
not about movies. Anything important. No, I'd rule the fucking world if I did. But the way that I am, it's just about films.
It's just movies. So anyways, for me, it is The Vast of Night.
Oh, I love this movie.
Right? It's so good.
It's so good.
It's great. So this movie is from 2019. And surprisingly, it is, I feel like, one of those rare Amazon Studios distributed movies that actually was good.
Yeah.
You know? So essentially, you know, it's not a long movie. It's 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And what this movie is that it, first of all, it's set in 1950s in New Mexico. So the vibe of it and the whole aesthetic is pretty
like
great.
Roswell-y.
Yeah.
Like, that's like deserty kind of New Mexico. Oh, it's so good. The aesthetic is great. I love it.
It's a little bit more sci-fi because, you know, I love my sci-fi.
Yeah.
And you can throw some horror into it and it's perfect balance. So it is loosely based on the Kecksburg UFO incident and the Foss Lake disappearances.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. So it follows two young adults, I guess, whatever you want to call it. They're switchboard operators. You know, they work on the radio. They're just jockeys, essentially, DJs on the radio. And what happens is that they discover a mysterious audio frequency signal from an unknown origin.
Yeah.
Right? And that whole thing starts to get crazy and devolve into them trying to understand what it is, trying to find the source and everything, and then kind of like everything that ensues with that. Yes, like I said, it is a UFO incident thing. So there are, you know, UFO things that happen in it. But it was really fun. it had that kind of like hot summer vibe type of thing.
It's such a slow burn, yes. But it's got this like, it's so intriguing the whole way through. I wasn't bored the entire time that we were watching it. The performances were great. Like I mentioned, I loved the 1950s aesthetic. It's at like a drive-in at the same time as like the radio station exists near right, it. Okay, there's like a drive-in setting. So it's got all these like perfect little period piece things. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if it's the whole film or a large portion of the film is like a one take, like a one shot. There's a lot of really long tracking camera shots from what I remember. We have not rewatched it, and I really want to, but I remember that visually in the film.
That's it. No, seriously, it's a great movie. It got also really good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. It was 92.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty good, you know. It also got some critical acclaim and stuff. Metacritic was 84 out of 100. It has a lot of good kind of like spoken reviews about it. It's very cool.
It's great. It's very underrated because I don't think it got all the sort of buzz that it could have necessarily, but it's a great film. I loved it.
Yeah.
So my next one is probably the most obvious one, or maybe the most popular one that will be on my list. Like I said, obviously we weren't aiming for the Jaws or the Friday the 13th or the Sleepaway Camps necessarily, but there are just a couple of films in that more classic-y kind of space that I can't help myself. Everything about it screams summer to me, which is why my second choice is The Lost Boys
from 1987. Of course.
They're just
the beach.
The pier setting in California. It's like, you know, summer. They're moving to a new town, and you've got that everything to do with the entire setting of it. Everybody seems like they're really, like, hot all the time.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of teenagers running around doing crazy shit. Not just the vampires, just the regular teenagers as well. And it just has, it is, like, the perfect summer film. You feel like you are also there on the pier, and you are also like, oh God, it's hot. Oh, it's really sunny out. Like, there's just so much about it that makes it like a great, perfect film. And there's something about vampires that really suits like a very warm setting, I find, for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what
that.
It is. I'm
it's like
talk
vampires and zombies, I think.
Kind
like,
of,
you know?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about something else like later too that I find kind of perfectly fits into the vibe. Totally different, but also vampires. Mm-hmm. Also a very hot setting. So it's just funny that this seems to be like a repetitive thing for me. But I just love everything about this film. It's so, like, it's so cool. It's such, like, a fun take on, like, the Peter Pan story.
Yeah.
It's got, obviously, like, very iconic performances, a great cast, a really good story, a ton of really great practical effects in it as well. I think Joel Schumacher just, like, knocked it out of the park, this one. And it is one of these films that I think is perfect for Pride Month, too, because it feels just very unapologetically queer, even though it is technically, I guess, not necessarily meant to be, but also Joel Schumacher is a queer director, and it very much comes through when you do watch this film. So yeah. I love this movie so much.
It's very so good. Everyone has kind of like those open shirts type of thing that it is just very hot and everything.
Cut off like leather vests and stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, cool. I agree with that.
What's your next one?
For me, the next one is a more recent movie. Mm-hmm. It is something that we saw, was it last year?
We saw it last year.
Yeah, that's it. Last year, we got a screener for it. Yeah. And it recently came out in the movies on May 29th, I want to say.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will be, you know, available very soon on VOD and all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It is Pitfall.
Woo.
Pitfall from 2025 technically came out, you know, this year, whatever, in the theaters, but stuff. So it is a, you know, survival horror slasher movie.
Yep.
It is directed by James Condlick, which, you know, with whom we had an interview.
Yes.
So there's a bunch of information if you want to know a bit more on the insider and the making of the movie.
Yeah.
Available on a few episodes ago.
Yeah, that's it, like last year, basically. But we did do a full review of the film, and then we also had a chance to speak to James and the producer of the film, Wai Sung Chen, just about their involvement, and it was great.
That's it. Really cool. It has really great cast as well. Richard Harmon is in it from Final
Destination.
Bloodlines. There we go.
Recently,
we have Randy Couture, who is, you know, a freaking MMA, wrestler, everything.
Yeah.
So that's really cool, you know.
Alex Esso, who's a Mike Flanagan regular. Yes. She's fantastic.
That's it. Yeah. There's Marshall Williams in it. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, really cool cast. And essentially, the movie is, you know, a couple and a sister and a brother.
Yes. Actually, two couples and their fifth wheel best friend.
Yes, exactly. Who's hilarious. Who's
Richard Harmon's
character. That's
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They decide to go on this hike that they used to do with their parents because, you know, their parents died a while back and they're kind of like redoing it type of thing. And while they're in there, in literally the middle of the forest, because they've been walking for a while, they started to get stalked by this random killer in the forest, essentially, you know, and everything that happens with that is pretty fucked up.
I feel like if you want something almost a little bit more highbrow than Wrong Turn, kind of, this is like a kind of the kind of film that you're gonna like something that has similar vibes. It's like survival in the woods horror kind of thing, but you know, it's not like inbred cannibals that are doing it necessarily. So it feels like a little bit more for grown-ups, I guess, to an extent. It's got like a good, it's got like that good kind of vibe. The setting is beautiful. They shot in British Columbia and it's like stunning. That's it. The cast is great. The story was really solid. It was very tense.
Yeah, the set is really well done. They have like a giant pit in there where things happen.
That big pitfall, which are a real thing that exists in nature.
That's it. They used the VFX people from some pretty big movies. If I remember correctly, I might need to double check on that, but I think they used it from like Godzilla.
I think so. And Final Destination Bloodlines, if I'm not mistaken, there were some folks who worked on that.
Yeah, so like, you know, it has great production value and everything, and the effects and everything. Yeah, so it's good. And, you know, one of the things that we really like about this is the characters are not random, and they actually do smart things because it's written well.
Yeah, it's true. I don't hate the characters in this film, which I find in survival horror like this is a bit of a rarer thing. I know. So that's nice. I appreciate that.
So
yeah,
check out Pitfall.
Do it. So my next choice is a bit of a throwback, maybe more of like kind of a thriller to a degree, but it fits so very well into the vibe, and it's like a road trip horror type of movie. It's Joyride from 2001.
Yo, that's a while ago.
Starring Steve Zahn and Paul Walker and Lily Sobieski. What happened to her? I don't know. She was huge for a while.
Joyride.
Yeah.
I'm getting like flash memories of this. And
this follows Paul Walker's character, who is driving with the girl that he has a crush on and goes to school with, and his brother, his older annoying brother, kind of cross country to drive her home for the summer following the end of the school year. While they are out there, they decide to play what could be a harmless prank. However, it is basically against the wrong person. It is a trucker.
Then
begins to stalk them and seek revenge, essentially. And things get real crazy real quickly once it kind of kicks off. But it's just, it's the road trip vibes of it. The sort of like everybody's on the road the whole time. They're stopping at shitty little motels on like the side of the highway and stuff regularly. It's got a lot of really good like tense like chase scenes and stuff like that in it that are just fun.
Yeah.
And it just fits. I find it fits really well. And I always remember the voice of the trucker character with his like very, very heavy Southern drawl. And they all have their little monikers that they use on the radio. And he just is looking for the person that they've made up called Candy Cane. And he always is looking for Candy Cane. And I don't know why, but I always remember this movie because I used to watch it a ton when I was younger. I don't know why. I just went through a phase where I watched it a whole bunch. I think I really liked Lily Sobieski when I was a kid. So I would just watch anything that she was in. That Glass House is another one that she did around the same time. That's another like thriller type thing. Same thing. I used to watch it all the time.
There you go. I really remember something from this movie that I don't know what it is. If they shot it like this, was the lighting, whatever it is. They had very like sweaty skin.
Yes. Everybody. See, that's the thing. Everyone was summer. Sweating. Everybody looks like they're real hot all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe that's what draws me to movies like this, is that I'm just like, I know what it's like to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Like that.
And it's like
it.
A road trip movie type of thing, right? So it's like everyone has the windows down and the music going and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's a fun one if you haven't seen it.
That's like, damn.
It's a throwback for us because we were like teenagers, very early teenagers when this came out.
If you haven't seen it, just check it out. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. It's worth watching for sure.
Nice. All right. So for my next one, I wanted to add something that is in the water, you know, because obviously summer and all that stuff. I did not want to add Jaws. That's just too easy.
Well, we just know. Like, we watch it most summers. I'm sure you probably do too if you're listening. It's like a
regular rewatch almost, whatever. So what I decided to do is... surprisingly almost akin to Jaws, I guess, in a sense. And it is Dangerous Animals from 2025.
It's just here's your updated version. Something, in a sense. But different. Like, obviously, the story is completely different.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely love that movie. It had a great survival story. Yep. The main character, the final girl, was badass in this movie. Cool. Holy shit.
Yep.
The main guy.
Jay Courtney.
That's it. Yeah. Terrifying.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
So scary. And his whole character is like just his mentality and everything. Yep. Absolutely wild. Anyways, the whole movie, if you haven't heard about it, is basically this guy who is a fisherman, essentially, right?
Yes.
He has his own boat and everything, and it's all decked out and stuff. And he essentially goes into town and finds unsuspecting victims mm-hmm. that he basically drugs and gets on his boat and gets in the middle of the ocean and decides to film them as he feeds them to sharks.
Oh, it's so scary.
It's actually fucked up.
It's terrifying.
It's fucked.
Yes. And it is one of those, very much those cases of someone who's just crazy for crazy's sake. Like mm-hmm. there's...
Yeah, he has absolutely no reason to do it. He's just like, that's just what I do.
It's what he likes
He doesn't
to
even
do.
Have a good reason to be doing it. It's not like, you know, those people were shady.
Yeah,
or
like he
they
saw
don't
them
care about their life because they're doing drugs or something, you know, whatever. No. Picking on fights and stuff.
No.
It's just like anything.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Also, it's directed by Sean Byrne, which like I think I've said it multiple times before. If you haven't watched Sean Byrne's films, he only comes out with one every like 6-7 years, but you just you need to hop on them. Like if you want something like prom horror, you can watch The Loved Ones, which is super fucked up. If you want something that has like that satanic panicky kind of vibe, watch mm-hmm. The Devil's Candy because it's also very much in that style and is so good. We haven't rewatched that movie. I want to rewatch that movie. It's so good. Like demonic possession, but also like satanic panic-ish type of vibe to it. Watch Devil's Candy. And then that's it. If you want like your like shark kind of attack movie mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. then that's what Dangerous Animals is for. He just comes up with really interesting ideas.
Yeah. No, seriously, it's great. It also has like good ratings and stuff, 87%.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes. Metacritic is 65 out of 100, which is way too low, but whatever. You know what I mean? Roger Ebert, I can never pronounce this guy's name.
No, you can't. It's
wrote that Dangerous Animals is sharp in all the right places.
I'm pretty sure it's just RogerEbert.com because I think he's dead. But
I know,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
But anyways.
Yeah. Cool. My next one is my sort of kid choice to a degree because I think it's, I don't know, there's something about summer that makes me sometimes want to watch like something fun and light and whatnot. I don't know. I just find it like fits the vibe. So my next choice is the original Scooby-Doo film from 2002.
What?
Scooby-Doo.
The live action one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which one is that one? Is that when they go on like
the
vacation
island.
Thing?
Yes. Spooky,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
It's like a perfect summer film. I mean, first we get the introduction to what, in my opinion, is a very iconic cast for these characters. Like these are the characters for me.
Yeah, that's how you see them in your head.
100% forever. All of course. 4 of them. And this was our introduction to Matthew Lillard as Shaggy, and there will never be a better one. No offense to whoever the kid is who's going to play him in the Netflix series. Hopefully he's good. But honestly, I will never be able to see anybody else is this character, genuinely.
Yeah, no,
not once.
No, it's him. And even the voice is just him
yes,
forever.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
He's
that's
also
it.
Done like almost all of the animated ones.
Yes,
you know?
Since then,
so like
yeah.
it's just it's imprinted.
It was Casey Kasem and now it's Matthew Lillard.
It's imprinted in your head.
Exactly. And it's just that's it. It's on like an island at a theme park. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like it's got like a weird sort of Aztec-y kind of theme to it, the whole island. So it just fits that summer kind of vibe the whole way through. And it's also just like a great film. I love it so much. It's so fun. It's such a good like introductory gateway film for kids.
Yeah, which is a series we're going to start.
Oh, yeah. We're going to kick off some. We do
Spoilers.
Our childhood trauma and those are fun, but we're going to start working on some gateways to horror too.
Yeah.
I think those will be really great. But this is one that just fits perfectly into that vibe. And I love it so much. And I actually haven't watched it in a few years, so we probably should do that this summer.
There's too many movies to watch from your list already.
I know. It's all of Jesus. Them. All of them.
Nice. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
It is very fun.
Yeah.
All right. And right now, technically my last one is influencers.
The first one or the second one?
No, the first one was
influencer.
Influencer, this influencers.
Okay, you mean the second one.
So it is the second
one. Got it. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Which is 2025.
Last year, yeah. Exactly. It's 2025. It is a sequel.
Yes.
Like you alluded to Influencer, which was also a great movie, but I found that this second one was first of all, kind of a little bit better and it had more of that summer vibe thing.
Okay.
You know
guess.
What I mean?
I don't know. I feel like they're both if you want
oh, both great.
If you do a back to back
It's
very seamless.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that one. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, it just kind of feels more summery to me. You know what I mean? There's like stuff going on, and they're in the country, and they're in France, and then they're somewhere else.
Yeah,
they're
multiple places in the summer, I guess, which is part of it.
They're in Thailand, right? That's where they go.
It's in Thailand, yeah.
No, but at the beginning, it's in France.
Yes. No, it is. It is. The character's in France at the beginning, but then afterwards, when she moves, I think it's to Thailand.
Yeah, that's it.
Or
yeah.
Bali.
No, because it returns to the same story. Anyways, whatever. It is Thailand. But anyways, great movie.
Yes.
Right? Essentially, it follows this kind of like killer character who basically takes over the lives of influencers.
Yes.
And with the help of technology and AI and everything and whatever it is, basically takes over their life, even on social and with the voice and everything, and is able to, you know, do all the stuff that
and
influencers
really,
do and get
really
all the free
that
stuff
up
and everything. Yeah, yeah.
In
it's
the
insane.
Second one.
In the second one, it's really, it's really crazy, especially the last scenes. She just goes ballistic and it's funny. It's good. Yeah. The kills are great. Yeah. The acting is stellar.
Yeah, Cassandra Node, who plays the lead character, I think is fantastic at this. She's really good.
Yeah, it actually premiered at Fantasia Festival.
It did, last summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, we missed it.
I know, like,
what
the fuck? God damn.
I know.
Anyways, it is a great movie. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a good movie, and it's a great sequel to that first one. It's a really good follow-up, and I love the through line of it and how it's a proper continuation. I really appreciate that.
So. No, it's great. Seriously, a bunch of the review sites like Dread Central, Buddy Disgusting, they all say that it's good.
That's awesome.
It's great. Variety said it's great. Anyways.
Yeah.
Definitely one to check out.
Perfect. Okay. I have two more, technically. Sorry.
Whoa.
So I'll breeze through. It's fine. So my first one is also kind of a throwback. I have a thing, again, like, you know, people in like warmer climates and stuff like that. It just kind of makes sense to me for summer recommendations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my first one is The Gift from the year 2000. This is a movie that stars Cate Blanchett as a character who is like a psychic, essentially, and has visions of different things and starts having a vision of the dead wife of a very abusive, very horrible man in her small town. And I forget if it's in New Orleans. I think it might be or Louisiana somewhere. It's in the South.
Okay.
Played by Keanu Reeves, which I've never seen him do anything like this before. He's horrible in this film. I've never seen him play a violent character before like that. Not like John Wick. That's not the same. I'm talking like an abusive piece of shit.
Yeah,
he's really scary. And I remember being scared of him when I first watched it in this film.
I know the name. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, really? Oh, we should watch it.
Or maybe I've seen it. It's been on my mind.
Yeah, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. But it does have, again, it's set in the South. And so it has that like aesthetic to it that really fits this kind of thing. It's right on like sort of on the water very frequently, and there's like a lot to do with that, with like the wife that's disappeared, who's played by Katie Holmes, actually, from what I remember.
Okay.
And everything like that. So there's just like, it was an interesting film. I feel like it was one that I had to watch multiple times when I was younger because I didn't necessarily catch all of the nuance. In the year 2000, I would have been like 11. So I would, you know, not necessarily have caught all of it. But yeah, when I'm like rewatching it and stuff, it was interesting to kind of see like what it's actually about, the order that I get. So,
cool.
Yeah. No,
all
it's
right.
a cool one.
Oh, we should watch it because I don't remember.
Yeah,
I
know we definitely should. And then my last one, which is another like travel kind of one that I feel it's, again, almost impossible not to recommend, is The Ruins from 2008. This is also based on a book of the same name.
That one's fucked, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. This one's also based on a book by an author named Scott Smith. So that one's on a lot of like reading recommendations for summer very often. And it follows a group of friends who are on a trip together.
Yeah, and they decide to go on a hike because someone's like recommending
them. Yeah, so
them.
They're in Mexico, from what I recall, and they go to visit the pyramids, but there's something very particular about the pyramid that they are led to, that they go up onto the top of it and then become trapped by some sort of like, it's sort of a combination of like a curse slash it's got like a weird like kind of like environmental
flesh
horror to it.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Because of like the plants essentially that are on.
Essentially.
It's not because of that. Like there's
a
more sinister reason.
The pyramid is cursed, but you know, the plants are the ones that attack them.
And like stop them from being able to leave, essentially. Yeah. It's very visceral. It gets pretty gnarly, like the further that they get into everything, for sure. My understanding is that the book is worse. So if you want to read it, just like probably be prepared for that if you haven't read it yet. So that's something to be aware of as well. But it really fits, again, like that kind of like travel horror setting type thing. The way that like, you know, you do it with influencers, but influencers are very different. So
it's so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's hop into some books, shall we?
Sure.
Book recommendations. Okay. So I'm going to try to speed through so that we're not here all day.
Wait, how many do you have?
4 or 5, I think.
Dude, what the? I have one.
Yeah, I have multiple.
You got to cut this down.
That's too many. That's too few. Excuse me. You got to give people more than one thing to read during this. I mean, you're crazy. So my first one is Breathe In, Bleed Out by Brian McCauley. This is one of those that falls into like that like wellness retreat, but things are fucked up kind of horror space that you get every once in a while with things like White Lotus and like, you know, what's that other one called? 9 Perfect Strangers or whatever it is that had like a TV show and stuff. Anyway, it falls into that kind of a space and like Blink Twice, like those types of things.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So it follows a woman who is recovering from a trauma where she lost her fiance about a year prior. She's trying to find a way to work through and get over it. And she's been struggling quite a bit. And her friends convince her to go to one of these weird, you know, wellness retreats in Joshua Tree in California. So she decides to go with them. And upon arrival, things are kind of strange. Like you can't, like there's no cell service, obviously. There's all kinds of things that you just can't do.
Fuck that.
And the people who run it are fucking weird. And
go to a wellness retreat. There's no cell service. No thanks. Bye. Yeah.
But it
give me a satellite phone.
Yeah. It devolves from that into slowly but surely, of course, members of the group that have gone with them are getting picked off basically by a killer that we do not see or we do not know who they are for a while. And so it's partially like a slasher whodunit to a degree. And then it's got that weird like wellness horror type of thing kind of tacked over top of it and stuff. But it's got a really good pace. The kills are pretty gnarly in it, honestly. It's got like a good slasher pace. It's got a good final girl, which I appreciate as well. And it was just like a fun story to get through. And I appreciated kind of what came of it at the end of the whole thing. It had a pretty good reveal.
Nice. Okay.
That was a fun one.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Do another one because you have too many.
Okay. my next one is very much in the summer camp slasher specific type of vibe. It's You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight by Kaylin Barron. This one is very particularly obviously influenced by like the Friday the 13th kind of series in general. So it follows a group of about like early 20-somethings who work at this basically full contact terror game, you know, one of those like that you can pay to go to and you have like a full experience.
Right.
This one is a summer camp experience where you're being stalked by the slasher.
But like over several days?
No, I think it's only like a few hour like run through or whatever. It's not like
I thought you like just go to summer camp and like it's 2 weeks
terror. No. It's one of those like simulations that you can go to, but it's like a live action one, right?
Yes.
So they call it Camp Mirror Lake and people will pay to go and it is like a full contact like thing, like the killer can grab you, people can touch you and all that kind of stuff. And so people have that experience and this follows specifically the employees who work there right at the end of the season when they start to, first of all, they discover that there's an actual legend around the camp at which they work, that there was something that occurred there decades prior. And at the same time, members of the cast start vanishing and it comes to, of course, revealed that there is an actual killer who is stalking them. And so they all have to try to find their way out of the camp before the end of the night.
Okay. It doesn't have to do anything with the people who go there to experience
No. They're not really involved because it's like the experiences have been canceled because people have started to disappear, think that they're just ditching. Like it's a whole thing that kind of builds up. It was good in the sense that it had like a really fast pace. It's got those kinds of like vibes. Like if you're looking for like that summer camp kind of vibe, but a little bit meta because of the type of experience that these people run, it's a really good feel for that. I find like it has a really good kind
of
vibe that way.
I would read that.
It was fun. It's fun. It's very quick to get through. It's a little bit YA, so it's like you breeze right through it.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. One of mine that the only one that I have, so don't shame me for that because you have so many. It is okay. So I'm going to explain why this is a summer thing for me because it is a little bit counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. So the book is The Last Astronaut by David Wellington, who writes, first of all, absolutely incredible sci-fi horror. Absolutely love it. I'm still waiting for his book of the Paradise One series.
Yes.
There's a third one that's supposed to come technically this year or last year.
I don't remember.
Maybe earlier. I don't know. Anyways, the reason why this is more of a Summerween recommendation for me because it has nothing to do with summer. It's literally in space, okay? But the reason that I have for this is that when I read that book, it seriously gave me chills.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those books that will cool you off with the chills that you will get while reading it. It's pretty fucking crazy of everything that happens in there. So, you know, basically there is a alien giant spaceship that enters our galaxy, I guess, if you want to call it. Not the galaxy, the solar system, essentially. And, you know, there's not really astronauts anymore because everything is automated, but there's only one left. And she needs to go and investigate and try to make first contact. And she's the last one and she's not sure of herself, etc. But regardless, she goes and then she goes inside the alien spaceship and there's so much fucking crazy shit that happens there that is gooey.
Ew.
And crunchy.
Ew.
And and it's cold and it's also hot. It's a mix mash of insanity.
Interesting.
It is absolutely amazing. That book had me gripped and seriously like chills down my spine while reading it. So if you're hot and just read this book, you're gonna get cold pretty quickly. Great. Seriously, great book.
It's a good counterbalance to like the just summer stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good. My next one is I Was a Teenage Slasher by Stephen Graham Jones.
I heard of that one.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Graham Jones is very big in the horror author space. He's an Indigenous author who writes specifically about Indigenous characters and experiences and stuff. I have not gotten around to reading like his most recent book, The Buffalo Hunter Hunter, but I know it's supposed to be fantastic. That came out last year. I Was a Teenage Slasher is actually set in the summer of 1989, and it follows two friends who are thrown into the mix when they live in a very small town in Texas. And there are people who begin to be killed over the course of the summer. And they become like infamous, essentially, because they're like suspected of having done all of this and everything.
Those people.
Okay. The characters themselves type of thing. Yeah. And it becomes like, you know, one of these like where there's news all over the place and stuff like that. And it's kind of shedding light on multiple different things. Like it sort of takes apart the slasher genre. It is, you know, very poignant in like the ways that people are killed throughout the course of the book. It's got like a lot of different layers to it, which he very frequently does in his books. So it's I feel like it's just like a really good solid choice. And again, like another kind of slasher thing set during the summer, and it works really well for that time of year.
Okay. Not bad.
And then I only have a couple left. So one is Bless Your Heart by Lindy Ryan. This is another one set in the South. It's set, again, small town Texas, but it is specifically a vampire book. And it follows...
Is there vampires with a Texan accent?
Well, a lot of the characters have it. So I actually listened to the audiobook for this, which is so much more fun because everybody's got a little twang.
Yeah.
All the characters have a little twang.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's so much better to do that, I find. It's fun. It's like kind of lighthearted, but it still has a lot of really serious stuff going on. But it follows a group of women who are a family, a grandmother, the mom, and then the daughter and the great grandmother. Jeez. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Who are part of a lineage of women who kill people who come back to life as the undead, basically, in their small town. And they own a funeral home. And so very often if people rise, they will kill them while they have the opportunity to do so.
Are they vampires or zombies?
No, they're vampires.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what, they die and then they rise by themselves? That's not how vampires work.
Yeah, but sometimes if they've been apparently like in this universe, it is possible for that to happen. And then obviously if people have been attacked by others that have risen again, that's also something that can happen.
This tells me it's vampire zombies, which is great.
Kind of, yeah.
That's even better.
It's a little bit different. Yeah, that's it. But it's like fun. It's got that silly little kind of lightheartedness to it. Like, you know, like even the title is like Bless Your Heart. Like it's got that kind of like tongue in cheek kind of vibe to it. But I don't know, it was just really cool. I love like a Southern set kind of like story like that.
Yeah.
So that was really fun.
Right.
And then my last one, which also book, movie, whatever you want to do with it. But the books, I think there are three out with, I think, a fourth coming out this year, is Clown in a Cornfield by Adam Caesar.
Of course.
Because again,
that's a great one.
Yeah. It's just like a fun, also slasher, but something that has like the clown aesthetic to it. Really small town, new girl moves to town and comes to know of the legend of Friendo. It's like an old mascot for, what was it, the corn syrup
factory, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was a corn factory of everything.
Yeah. in the town. But of course, soon Frendo himself starts popping up and killing some of the teenagers in the town. And so she starts to try to, with her friends, figure out what the hell is going on and why all these people are being killed. I have only read the first book, I will say. Like I said, there are two others so far, which I believe a fourth is coming out this year. So it can be fun if you want to hop on like a whole series as well.
Yeah. And we watched the movie too, which was not bad.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. That's it. It's fun.
Really good. Another good like intro gateway type of thing for like, you know, young adults who are kind of looking for like what to watch. It's a great one. Yeah. I find for teenagers, it's not overly violent.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
Nice.
And then TV shows is our last category. Do you have any TV shows on yours?
I do now.
Nice.
I thought of one just now.
Just now. What is it?
It is Widow's Bay.
Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's,
yes. No, we've not talked about it. Yes, we fucking love it. It's so good. Yeah,
seriously, it's fucking good. We cannot wait for the season finale that is supposed to be next week. Mm-hmm. And they also renewed it for season two.
Thank God.
Literally news from today.
This is some of like the best dry humor good. I have seen in a show. Oh
my God. It is hilarious.
It's so good.
It has, I find, a lot of layers of Stephen King stuff.
Very much.
To it. But it is not a Stephen King story or adaptation or anything related to it. It's just like a lot of people were like, oh, it's like a Stephen King thing because it has a lot of those layers.
It's just got a vibe.
Story ways of saying things, you know? No, it's just a vibe of it and it's so well done. Oh, it is so absolutely hilarious. It is not really that scary. At least, I mean, not...
It has really good moments of...
It's tense.
Of horror. Like, it does have genuinely good horror in it, but...
But it's not like gore. You're not seeing people being decapitated or anything.
No, it's not that type of horror. It's more just like unsettling.
Yeah.
And tension built in multiple different ways.
Story is great. Oh, it's so like good. Deep. It has good lore. Anyways, absolutely hilarious. Definitely watch it. If it's on your list, watch it now.
Yeah. You may as well just get started with it because it's almost done. That's so it. Do it. Okay. Much in the same way of the small island horror thing, because I guess, I don't know, like Widow's Bay, it works very well for that. My first choice for TV show is Midnight Mass because that also has really great...
Yep.
Small island vibes. Both of these shows have Haymitch Linklater in them, which is so weird. Amazing. I know, he's so good.
I know, he's really great. And it's a vampire thing, like you mentioned. Vampires is like a summer thing for you.
It is. I don't know what it is. There's something about it.
I mean, look, to be fair, the only thing I could think of vampires in the cold was 40 Days of Night.
Oh, yes, the Alaska.
Like the only... Yeah. One that I can think of top of my head. 30 I can days probably find some of them.
30 days.
30 days?
Yes. Anyways, sorry. Yes. That. Alaskan. Yes.
Anyways, there's not a lot of vampire or zombie movies that are
in winter settings.
Except for Dead Snow, which is absolutely fucking hilarious.
Especially that second one.
Oh my God.
We got to rewatch that. I know.
It's so funny.
So that's my first one. My second one is a throwback. And so maybe like, I don't know, 90s kids will also remember this show, but it's, I don't know what it is about this show that just makes me think of this, but it's a show that ran from 1991 to 1993 on NBC, and it's called Eerie Indiana. And
no idea.
Yeah, it follows this kid who kind of winds up like investigating like the weird goings on in his town called Eerie in Indiana.
Oh, okay. That's a cool town name.
It is kind of a good town name, actually. I agree. I feel like it works really well for that. But it's just, I don't know what it is. This was a show that I devoured when I was a kid. And it also, I think because it came out like around the right time for me that I was just starting to like find this kind of stuff fun. Mm-hmm. So I didn't watch it when it originally aired because I was very young, but I watched it a bit later when there were reruns and stuff. And it also stars Omri Katz as the main character, who is also most famously known for playing Max in Hocus Pocus. And so all of these things kind of converged for me to make like a really great TV show. And I loved it so much while it was on. I need to find like a DVD copy of it or something. I need to rewatch it anyway.
Cool.
It's great.
I mean, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then my last one, again, I was talking about vampires because I keep talking about them apparently because they work for me for summer. My last TV recommendation is True Blood.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Genuinely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like,
it's all south and hot all the time. So,
I don't know if I could pick anything more well-suited to it. It is set in Louisiana. Everybody's always hot. everybody has a southern accent. It's great. It's got a lot of different layers to it. Does it devolve as the series progresses? Yes. But, you know, whatever. In keeping with it, I will say, like, the vibes are immaculate pretty much the entire run of the series. The cast is great. So even if, like, story choices are bizarre, they maintain, like, a really, really great cast the entire way through. There are a ton of really interesting storylines, and it's just got, again, that like kind of sun-soaked Southern Gothic type of vibe to it that works so well for these types of watches at this time of the year, I find. Yeah.
That's a great choice. Yeah. I have to agree.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen some stuff here and there and whatever it was on TV and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
So I get it.
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of wraps up our whole Summerween recommendations. Yeah. Hey, maybe hopefully there's some stuff in here that you at least haven't heard of, or maybe it's like triggered something for you to get started on something that you've just not gotten around to. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And if you guys have any recommendations of your own for things that you want to like throw into the comments, please feel free, because we're always looking for stuff that kind of suits the vibe of the time of year, especially me. I'm always interested in that. So if you do have any recommendations, definitely let us know about that. Obviously follow us on all of our socials. We're at Gravetone Pod everywhere. You can check out our website over at gravetonepod.com. All of our episodes are archived there. We have our horror movie picker quiz, that you only have to fill out a few questions for to help you.
That's four questions.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. If you're looking for a movie to watch tonight, you can always go check that out too. And then next week is the release of Leviticus, which I'm really hoping we're getting a release of here.
Seriously.
Fingers crossed, because I'm really looking forward to it. It looks great. I think it's going to be a great pick for this month. So fingers crossed we're going to be able to do that next week. But until then, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.